You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
All right, welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us, you're right on time for our Purposeful Parenting segment. And today we're talking about handling family conflict, right? So we know that life is not always smooth sailing, regardless of how prayerful of a family you might be or what wonderful people you might be. Family life is not always smooth and perfect. It's not butterflies and rainbows. Disagreements with siblings, misunderstandings with parents, or just the everyday stress of living together can lead to some serious tension. But conflict doesn't have to mean chaos, right? Learning to handle family conflicts with patience, respect, and clear communication can strengthen relationships rather than damage them. So today we're going to be talking about how we can keep the peace while still standing up for ourselves. And to join us and guide us through this conversation, we have on the line Pastor Matambo joining us. Good morning, my pastor. Welcome to the Mid-Morning Empowerment.
Thank you so much. How are you?
I'm doing well, Pastor. How are you doing this morning?
Good. I'm doing well. Just that it's raining here.
Oh, wow. Lucky you.
Yes. It's been raining all night.
Oh, that's beautiful.
We thank God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, so we're talking about family conflict this morning. Maybe let's start by talking about some common sources of conflict between boys and their parents and how they can be resolved, especially boys. I have a little boy now, and I'm afraid of what's coming up in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's very true, yeah. Yes, you have to prepare for the future.
Mm.
And, you know, the sources of conflict usually, they emanate from... No, boys, they don't want to be like girls. That's the problem, especially when they're growing up.
Okay.
They already think they are fathers already when they are not yet fathers.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to issues of house chores and responsibilities.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't want to even clean their own rooms. They don't want to spread their beds. And this is where they get into conflict, especially with other siblings and also with parents.
Mm.
And we talk of issues like academic pressure.
Okay.
Yeah, when parents are telling them to push for higher grades.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel like it's not for them. They feel like they want to do sports. They feel like they want to do soccer.
Right.
Instead of going for academics.
Yeah.
That's another problem. Yeah. The other sources of conflict include things like rules and boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, curfew. Let's talk about curfew.
Mm.
If you tell them to come back home in time, that's a problem to a boy. Yeah, they just can't accept that. It's okay, they will, but it's a struggle.
It's a struggle.
Yes, we talk of choice of clothing. Yeah. Choice of clothing as well. They see something on television and they want to dress like what they're seeing on TV.
Yeah.
You see now. And you're saying probably as a Christian family, this is not the way you can dress. Mm. Dress like this.
Mm.
Then there's a conflict.
Mm.
There's a conflict there. Yeah. We talk of also friends. The peer pressure that comes from friends.
Mm.
They can be in friendship with some who are not yet probably not Christians at their home. And they are living lives anyhow. And if you've got a Christian background, you would want your child to grow in a certain way. You've just told me that you've got a daughter, you've got a son.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you are trying to groom that son the Christian way.
Yeah.
But if it happens that your son befriends someone who is coming from a home that doesn't probably go to church or they don't worship, it's a challenge. When you tell your son, this is the way to go, and they're saying, mama wants to control too much.
Mm, mm.
My friend, the parents for my friends, they are not so controlling like my mother.
Yeah.
So those are also sources of conflict.
Ish.
We talk of technology. Yeah, technology, screen time. You know, we've got challenges. I know you've already bought your son a phone.
No, my phone seems to be his. I think we're sharing. I don't know when that happened.
Okay. So the screen time issue now. They want to spend much time on the screen, and you want them to do other things. You want them to be useful.
Yeah.
And they feel like you're over-controlling them. That's another challenge. Mm-hmm. So I see there are a lot of conflicts, and this does not only affect the parents. It also even affects the siblings, other siblings, because other siblings will start to feel that probably you're being too soft on the boy and too harsh on us as girls, especially imagine the curfew issues.
Yes.
The boy might want to extend beyond the curfew time, but the girls, it's impossible for a girl to go beyond the curfew time. So when other siblings see that, they see, this one has got special favors.
Yeah.
But for us, my mom or dad is very strict on us, but on this one, they're a bit relaxed.
Yeah.
So the others get to be worried because of that. So these are some of the conflicts that we find in many homes, especially when there are boys involved.
It's very interesting. And I can actually look back on things that I've witnessed myself and seeing the difference between the way the boys are raised and the way the girls are raised, the way that we respond to boundaries and things like that. I can definitely see that in some of the people I grew up with. That's definitely true.
Yeah.
And then it almost starts to seem, especially to the girl child, it seems like the boy is the favorite. But at the same time, on the boy's end, he feels like he's being stifled. He's not, he doesn't feel like he's enjoying those quote-unquote benefits of being the favorite. So it's a very interesting dynamic there. I don't know why that happens. From what you're saying, it sounds like at the root of it is a boy trying to, establish his dominance as a man from a very young age.
Exactly.
So he doesn't want to be told anything.
He wants to be a father. When it's not your time to be a father.
right. Without the responsibilities of a father.
Exactly. He doesn't want the responsibilities of a father.
No.
He just wants the freedom of the father.
Yes. He wants that independence. Very interesting.
How
do we work through some of those conflicts that arise? Maybe let's start by conflicts between brothers and sisters and the disagreements that might arise without creating that long-term resentment. Like I said, sometimes as a sister, you're looking at your brother like, yo, this guy's got so much freedom. Why is he so spoiled? Mm-hmm. Why can't he just be more respectful? How come I've got all these boundaries? And then sometimes there's this resentment that arises from there. How do we work through our disagreements without creating that resentment?
Okay. I think first and foremost, as a parent, you can encourage these little ones to express their feelings in an acceptable way.
Mm.
Yeah. Just encourage them to express what they think and express how they feel about the situation in the home. Also encourage them to love each other, to listen to each other, and find mutual solutions to the problems which they are having. Especially loving each other. You know, I was led to a verse in the Bible.
Okay.
In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 to 5. And Paul, we find Paul talking to the Christians at Philippi.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 2, chapter 2 of Philippians, verse 2 to 5, Paul says that, I'm going to quote from the King James Version here. Paul says that, "Fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Paul was encouraging or exhorting the Christians at Philippians church to be of one mind and to be of one accord.
Mm.
And that's the biggest problem that you'll find between brothers and sisters. They are not of one mind.
Yes.
They are not of one accord. There is no unity among them.
Mm.
So as a parent, you should encourage them to be united, to stand together. Verse 3, Paul says that, "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory."
Mm.
Don't do things fighting. You don't need to be pushing and shoving. "But in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem the other better than themselves." Now, this is something that I wish all people could learn.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at your brother, when you look at your sister, just yourself, tell yourself that she's better than me. So if the girl says, "My brother is better than me," then the brother says, "My sister is better than me." You see, they are both looking at each other as better than themselves.
Yes.
Yeah, so they esteem each other better.
Yeah.
When you look at your sister and say, "I think my sister is better than me," it means you're going to listen to her. When she wants to say something, you can actually listen to her.
Yeah.
But when you think she knows nothing, when you think that she's not above you, she's under you, then It means you always want your way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Mm.
So this is what we would wish, a situation would want for brothers and sisters to not just look at themselves, let them see, look at other people's things as well. For instance, let the brother look at his sister and say, I think my sister's needs are more important than my needs at this moment. Let her have the way right now.
Wow.
Maybe I will have my way next time.
Mm.
And Paul finishes by saying, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
Hey.
What mind is that? Is the mind of esteeming the other person better than you. This is what we need to encourage our daughters and our sons to always have, to always carry in their minds that look at the other person next to you as better than you. So when it is reciprocated, the other one says this one is better, the other one says this one is better. Yeah. At the end of the day, they are all better.
Hey.
There is no one above the other. There is no one under the other.
Beautiful.
You see now.
Beautiful.
So I think that's how we can encourage them to get past these issues.
I love that. And I think a very important thing that comes out from what you're saying is that, you know, I know someone might hear that and think, oh, so does that mean I must always agree with the other person, even when I know that they're wrong? But from what you're saying, what I'm getting is when you esteem another person as better than yourself, it's not to say that you agree with them all the time. But like you said, the words that you use, you said you will listen to them. Sometimes it's just about listening and understanding someone's perspective, even if at the end you might not agree with what they're saying, but you have at least given them space to say their piece and to try and understand from the other person's perspective rather than just dismissing it because, ha, what do you know? What can you tell me?
What do you know? Exactly. What do you tell me? And I think I'd leave something also very important.
Okay.
I think as a parent or a guardian, you should demonstrate through the way you live with others, probably if you've got a husband or you've got a wife or you've got other people that you stay with, you should demonstrate your conflict resolution.
Yes.
Because these young ones are looking at you.
Exactly.
They want to see a good example in how you solve your conflicts.
Mm.
If you always have your way as a father.
Yeah.
When the young men growing inside your house will always think that it's for father to have their way. It's for fathers to win the argument always.
Mm. Wow.
You see now.
That's a very good point.
Yeah, so I think the way we are going to handle our own conflicts as adults is going to inspire them.
Yeah.
So that they can find solutions amongst themselves as they handle conflict.
Sure, sure. And then, like I said earlier on, no matter what a wonderful family you might be, conflicts are still going to arise in one way, shape or form or another. So what are some healthy ways to express frustration or to express anger in the midst of those kinds of conflicts? How do we express our anger?
We can start with unhealthy ways.
Okay, sure. Let's do that.
Let's just talk about unhealthy ways of expressing anger and frustration.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen other boys and girls destroying plates and cups which they didn't buy.
Hey.
destroying furniture which they had not bought. Imagine. Yes, not even a cent or a dime of them has gotten into those furnitures, but they destroy because they are angry.
Mm.
They throw down everything. Recently I was at some family where I was doing some counseling sessions and they were saying that our son curses us.
Mm-mm.
He speaks the F words and B words to us.
Yeah.
And you're wondering what kind of expression of anger is that?
Mm.
And they even imagine he's telling the sister the F word and he's telling the sister or the brother the B word. It's not a good word.
Sure.
So those are unhealthy ways of doing it.
Right.
You know, if those things are left unchecked, you realize that one day they might end up killing each other.
Yes.
Have you not heard of brothers who killed sisters and sisters who killed brothers?
They escalate.
Yeah, and I remember as I was growing up, it once happened that a brother killed his younger brother.
Mm.
Through those conflicts, they fought until they killed each other. The brother killed the young one.
Oh.
So we are saying that these are unhealthy ways, but there are other ways that we can express our anger and frustration. For instance, we something very normal when you're so angry, you just decide to take a walk. Just take a walk and excuse yourself from the discussion and take a walk. But before you excuse yourself to take a walk, you can choose to speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4 verse 15 tells us that you can speak the truth in love.
Yes.
If you feel the other person is out of the way and you are the one with the truth, you can still do it in love.
Yes.
Yeah, but when you see that you can't, you failed to the person, to get the other person to listen to you, you can now choose to walk away.
Okay.
Step away from the situation. Yes. Go somewhere, refresh your mind with something else. Take and start some exercises. Go for swimming. Maybe you can go and start, if you love punching a lot, you can go and punch a bag. Find something to punch, out there. I do understand that the Bible has also recognized that sometimes the relationships inside the house can be very offending or something else. But no, Proverbs has told us that in Proverbs 25 verse 24, he has said that it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than to be with a brawling woman inside the house. So you can, if you see that your sister is not getting you, is not understanding you, you can choose to go on top of the house and sit there.
To the corner of the rooftop.
Yes, go to the corner of the rooftop and sit there and just relax. Okay, the writer of Proverbs was trying to tell us how toxic inside the house can be. How toxic relationships can be between brothers and sisters, even between husbands and wives. And this is one way of solving or of emptying of your frustration.
Yeah.
How can you go on the rooftop except that you are angry?
Yeah.
It's only an angry person who can go and sit on the top of the roof, you see now. So that's a way of expressing your anger. Go outside the house, walk, take a walk, and come back when you feel better.
Yeah.
I think it's some of the ways that can help. Maybe you can as well share with our audience other things that you can help to solve these issues as we express anger.
Yeah, I think the points that you've raised are important ones. The first one that you mentioned about, when you have failed to get through to someone, speaking in love and the message doesn't come across, I think that's where a lot of people find difficulty, because there is this, I don't know if it's a need to control the outcome. So I feel like if I have spoken to you in love, why are you not responding the way I want you to respond? And then that creates such frustration. But I think if we learn to
respond my way.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I think in addition to learning how to speak in love, we also need to learn to accept whatever the response is going to be. I can't control how you're going to respond. Sometimes I will speak in love and you will still respond to me negatively. And that's when the next advice that you give then comes into play. If it means going to the roof, or just going away for a walk, it's important that you learn to just, okay, I've done my part and we're failing to come to any mutual ground. Let me walk away and catch a breather. This doesn't mean that you have given up on your sibling. It doesn't mean that you are wrong and they are right. It just means right now the tensions are high. Maybe this is not the right time to continue this conversation. So I guess,
finish it, yes.
Yes, yes. So I think that's really important. As we're coming to the end of our conversation, how would you say that boys can take responsibility for their role in a family argument, even when they feel like they're being misunderstood?
First, I would say that they should listen to other people's perspectives.
Okay.
Yes, they should listen to other people's feelings and thoughts. It's very important for one to listen to others. Also, to acknowledge their own contributions to the conflict. Not always. It's not like you are right always.
Right.
It can be. Yes. Yes. Acknowledge that. I think in this conflict, I had a role to play. Yes. Yeah. Communicate also to your siblings. Your feelings. Communicate your feelings clearly.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. One way of doing it. Don't just assume. Communicate clearly. Seek to understand other people's point of views as well. Just rather than just focusing on your own feelings of being misunderstood.
Yeah.
Just look at it and say, probably I think they have a point. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Give yourself that benefit of doubt. Maybe I'm wrong. I think they are right. Yes. Be willing to compromise as well.
Yeah.
And to remain rigid. Be willing to compromise so that you get to a solution. And above all, I'll say that focus more on the solutions. Work together to bring a solution to the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I would encourage these young boys and girls. Yeah.
And then at what point would you say it's time to seek help from a trusted adult or mediator when we're having family disputes? At what point do you say, you know what, we are failing to understand each other, we're failing to communicate?
Okay.
How? At what point do we say, okay, you know what, we need help?
All right. I think the Bible has even given us the steps to follow. Matthew 18 verse 15 tells us that whenever there is a conflict between you and your relative or your neighbor, seek to solve it, the two of you first. But the moment you see that we have failed to resolve this between ourselves, I think it's the right moment to pick the other person, because the Bible even says that when you cannot hear each other, look for the second person or the third person so that they can be a witness. That's Matthew 18 verse 15 going onwards. So immediately when you realize that we failed to agree and our communication is broken down, you can now bring in the third person to help you. Yeah, when you see that emotions are running high, it's the right moment to bring in somebody else. When you are unable to reach each other, or you cannot get a solution by yourself, you've tried and it has failed, I think that's the right time to seek the help of the other person. Most people drag it and end up complicating things along the way.
Exactly.
Yeah, if they had engaged somebody earlier, they could have found a solution earlier. But they drag it too long until it is even possible for other people even to get in. But I want to just say that there are many people out there who are willing to help. They've just not been consulted, but they are willing to help you. If you've got a situation with anyone, with your sister, with your relative, with any sibling of yours, just reach out and get help. You realize that it was that easy.
Yeah.
It was that easy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
I think that's what I can share with you.
Thank you so much, my pastor. I really appreciate you coming through and sharing your insights with us on this subject. I think every family member knows and has been through some kind of conflict, different sizes, some minor things, sometimes major things, which, like you're saying, when they're left to fester for too long, they turn into something even more complicated. And sometimes we really just need to go out there and look for help, be humble in our approach, and of course, keeping God at the center of it all. Thank you so much, Pastor, for your
time. Amen.
Appreciate your advice and you sharing your time with us this morning. God bless you.
Thank you, Bongi. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.